Good morning. It's good to be here with you and to have a chance to look at God's Word together. During this season of Easter, we've been looking at a series of Psalms. And one of the things we've repeated is that the Psalms, this ancient prayer book and song book of God's people, they're God's words given to us that we may speak to God. They're God's words given to you and to me, that we may direct our souls to God. And that this is true for us, and it's also true for Jesus. That when we read the Psalms, we're also invited to see them as the prayers that Jesus prayed, a chance for us to see into his inner life with his heavenly Father, as he walked in his vocation as Savior, and walked to the cross, and held hope in the resurrection. And so this morning, though, we're going to look at Psalm 23, and this sermon is for all of us, for me and for all here, but I was especially selecting this psalm and thinking about it as preparing for confirmation and receiving students this morning. But Psalm 23 is one of the most well-known chapters in all the Bible. It's a prayer or song of confidence and trust. And if you are familiar with it, you know that it offers rich images of prayer, of entrusting my life to God. With depth and with simplicity, the psalm offers not an escape from life and its difficulties, but the possibility of peace and contentment in the midst of them. This peace and this contentment, this joy is rooted in the opening line, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." The challenges of uncertain paths, the real presence of threats and of fears, the confusion of multiple voices calling out to us, this prayer acknowledges these shadows of life, but it also personally speaks of the Lord's care, of his goodness and of his mercy. The psalmist writes, "They will follow me all the days of my life." So let's look at this psalm together. It's in your order of worship. It's the Psalm 23. You can follow there in your Bible. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've gathered us here, and we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us by your Spirit to hear it and to receive it, that we would know the joy of your presence through all parts of life, even in the shadows, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we look at this psalm together, there's three parts this morning that I want us to move through. One is this opening line, "The Lord is my shepherd." The second is seeing how Jesus is the full expression of the Lord as shepherd. And then the last part is for us to see how God provides for his sheep. So "the Lord is my shepherd." This is a summary of the psalm, and it's also a short statement of the life of faith. "In Christ, the Lord, God Almighty, is my shepherd." Now, we might be familiar with that, but we need to stop and see the interesting combination that is being put together here. The Lord is connected to the role of a shepherd. And this is the wonderful and unique Christian answer to the question, who is God? Who is God? The Lord God is my shepherd. The name Lord is an English translation of the Old Testament personal name of God, Yahweh. This name was first disclosed to Moses at the burning bush. Maybe you recall the story in the Exodus. God was calling Moses to go to Egypt and to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And Moses is feeling the weight of this call and the uncertainty around it. And he asks, well, when I go, who should I tell them sent me? You know, who should I say, you know, why they should listen to me? And God's answer to Moses' concerns was Yahweh, meaning I am. I am who I am. An interesting answer by God. This inexhaustible name that refers to God's timelessness and his self-sufficiency. The idea that no one has created God and that God does not depend on anyone or anything to give him an identity. I am who I am. God, the holy creator of heaven and earth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet this God has chosen that central to his identity, central to how he is known among his people, is that he is connected to them as a shepherd to care for their needs. Now, we don't live in a rural setting here in Lincoln Square. Not sure of your experience or your knowledge. I have very little of such things. But the role of the shepherd meant constant care, constant attention to the flock. And in Israel and in the ancient societies, because of the nature of that work, the shepherd's role was considered low and humble, something to be avoided, something unpleasant. The shepherd's task was unending, day and night, summer or winter, fair weather or bad weather. The shepherd was to labor to nourish and guide and protect the flock. And it is this role, this title that the Lord God has chosen for himself, has embraced towards his people. The Psalms give us all sorts of wonderful images about God. We've heard a few of them the last few weeks. King, the rock, a fortress. But I suggest that there is something more comprehensive, even more intimate than the image here of a king or a rock and that image of a shepherd. The shepherd is more comprehensive, it's more intimate. For the shepherd was to live with the flock, and the shepherd had to be everything to it, to guide, to heal, to protect. And so the prayer, the Lord is my shepherd, followed by the other lines saying, he leads me, he restores me, is a personal prayer of trust to a God who has drawn near to those who have need. If we don't see this intimate nature of calling the Lord my shepherd, then we miss this psalm and why it's so wonderful. And it's in this humble drawing near that God has displayed that is most fully revealed. This humble drawing near is most fully revealed in the person of Jesus. For us to move forward, I think the second part is to reflect that Jesus, that when he picks up this image of the shepherd in his teaching, that he not only was identifying himself with God, but he was saying that he, as the good shepherd, is the expression of God's care for his flock, his care for you and for me. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, we heard Rob read, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The sheep hear my voice. And I call my own sheep by name, and I lead them. I go before them, and my sheep will follow me, for they know my voice. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life for my sheep. All others who are hired hands, who do not own the sheep, who do not love them, when they see the wolf coming, they will leave the sheep and they will run away, letting the wolf snatch them and scatter them. But I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, for I lay down my life, I know my own, and they know me. Jesus, in this psalm, invites us to understand his care, that he calls you by name. He knows you. That in the face of all the fears and the very real threats, that he promises not to flee, but to lay down his life for you. For he is not a hired hand, one who seeks only his own interests, but he has committed himself to his flock. It's because of Jesus' language and because of what it means that he is the shepherd that this image of the good shepherd became so precious to the early church. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the early church made all sorts of art forms. Many of them were hidden because of persecution. Many of them were found in catacombs underneath of the earth. But the most common early Christian art form of Jesus was the image of the Good Shepherd, often painted or carved or onto a wall. It was often an image of a young man carrying a sheep over his shoulder. Being asked the question, who is your God? What is your God like? In the early church, the answer that they offered was, my God is my shepherd. He is the one who has sought me out. And when he finds me, when he left the path and entered the darkness to find me, and with joy and with love, he picked me up and carried me on his breast to take me home. This is who my God is. And I know because it's in Jesus that it's displayed. Who is God? What is your God like? How would we answer such a question? Well, the psalm here invites us to say the Lord is my shepherd. Everything flows from that truth. It's central to this psalm, and I would argue that it's the summary of our Christian faith. God, the creator of all things, the Holy One, in the person of Jesus, has humbly drawn near and has become my shepherd, committing himself, binding himself that he would watch over me and care for me, even laying down his life for me. Well, it's in light of who this God is that we can then ask with the psalm, well, how will he provide for us? And the rest of our time this morning, I want to look at a handful of ways the psalm invites us to see God's provision. Left to themselves, sheep lack everything. They lack everything. But in relationship to a good shepherd, they have one to trust with their needs. And the first provision that the psalmist points us to, it says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack rest. Do you see this? I shall not lack rest. My shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Life makes many demands on us. You don't need me to remind you of that. Some of these demands are spoken, some are unspoken, but all are felt with pressure and with the expectation, the words or actions of others. One of the demands that's often above us is the question of our futures. What will we accomplish? How will we prove ourselves? Will you be successful? Will you be good enough? Such questions and such pressure is exhausting. And it's significant that our psalm starts with the image of rest. How does that strike you? We might expect that when we read this psalm about God being our shepherd, that we will start with expectations or motion, some kind of activity. Sheep, keep up with the shepherd. Sheep, honor the shepherd. Sheep, be different than the other sheep around you. But that is not how our psalm begins. It begins with the place of rest. It begins there because rest is at the heart of the gospel. It's at the heart of the good news of Christ, at the heart of knowing that God, not just as the distant one, but as your shepherd. The Christian life begins with resting in God and God's provision. It cannot begin anywhere else. Of course, God has gifted you, gifted all of us, and has called us to serve in meaningful ways. But that is never where our faith begins. We begin our faith and begin each day by resting in Christ, our good shepherd who made you, who called you, redeemed you, and promises to lead you. Lord, you are my shepherd. Rest or exhaustion, I suggest part of it is rooted in the question, am I on my own? Or is there someone good who sees me and knows me and is with me? When I first heard the gospel as good news of Christ in my own experience in high school, it was hearing it as good news that God, the one who sees me completely, loves me completely. The idea that God would see me, even the depths of my brokenness, and lay down his life for me. If that is true, then all things are different. Life can begin with rest and not with my striving. It's into this place of exhaustion and questions that Jesus, our good shepherd, says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." The Lord is our shepherd, and he gives us rest. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack for life, for he restores my soul. I've had the opportunity to coach my kids' soccer team for a number of years, all the different kids. And when they were younger, there was a time when we were playing in this practice, something called Follow the Leader. We make a line, and everyone's dribbling the soccer ball, and whoever's in the front gets to go wherever they want in the field. And we were at Hollywood Park, and the kids loved playing this game, so we played over and over again. But somehow, like a magnet, this line would always go towards this large tree in the park, which was fine, but to go around the big tree. But this tree had large roots coming out of the ground. So eventually, as this line made its way there, the balls would bounce away, and kids would be, you know, tripping all over these large roots. Now, I'm not sure why, but like a magnet, whenever they wanted to play the game, that's where that line made its way towards the tree. So eventually, my role was to stand there and to wave them back. You can't go this direction. You can't go over here by this tree. Now, that might be a silly picture, but it provides us the image of what being restored to life is meant in our passage. The word restored here carries this idea of turning one back, of calling one back. A sheep that has left and is wandering, and the shepherd's role is to call it back to life, to restore it. And part of this psalm invites us to confess that we are drawn to wander. If you're like me, that we are drawn to trust ourselves, especially when things are challenging. And that there are many, many voices that would call out to us about who we are and what we should do, telling us that we'll be happy if we can accomplish certain things or grab hold of certain items, if we look a certain way or meet certain accomplishments. It's when these voices become the ones that we follow, the ones that we hear, that we no longer walk a straight path, but one that's twisted and broken. Jesus himself said that there would be other voices that we would hear, but those voices, he said, are thieves and robbers or hired hands, quick to run away and protect themselves. But Jesus is the one who calls you and me by name, and it's his voice that offers the life, a path that leads to what is good. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack life, for he calls me to the paths that are straight. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack safety or provision. And in this section, you might notice in the psalm that the voice of how God is addressed changes. It starts off in the psalm by speaking of the Lord, but as it goes down, it begins to speak of you. You, Lord. The shadow of life brings fear. And at this point of danger, the prayer speaks intensely to God, you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How many of us know this experience that it's often in the shadows that we learn to speak to God? Not just speak about God or ideas that we've heard, but that we learn to speak to God. In the shadow of my shame, in the shadow of my sin, I learn to say, Lord, I need you. I need your mercy. In the shadow of my fears and my suffering and my loss, to cry out, you are my hope. Where else will I go? Who else could I listen to? You are the one I need, Lord. Here the image of the shepherd is no longer one who is ahead, but one who has come alongside of us. You are with me. It's God's companionship that brings the possibility of peace and hope to every situation. You know that this doesn't mean there are no valleys, no enemies, no fears. What the psalm invites us to pray is to remember our loyal shepherd, the God who has bound himself to us in Christ. The image here comes from a passage of taking the flock from the lowlands through the valleys up into the highlands during the summer to receive new pastures. It's passing through these valleys on the way to life. The sheep could encounter real threats of animals or storms. But here the psalmist does not suggest that the shepherd has wandered away, but that the shepherd himself is leading us on these paths through the valley. It's in the shadows that we face fear and ask and wonder what our shepherd is doing. It's a chance for us to hear Jesus' voice in the psalm, our good shepherd himself with pierced hands and pierced feet, saying, Lord, my Father, you lead me through the shadow of death. To reflect on how our God, our shepherd, joins us in these shadowed places in the darkness, joins us in the person of Christ, not only to dwell with us in the darkness, but to speak the hope of resurrection and of life. Lord, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In fact, I remember that you prepare a table before me. The final provision to see is that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack a home. I shall not lack a home. Here the image moves from sheep to the pictures of humans dwelling at a table, unless you like to picture sheep gathering in the house and enjoying the banqueting feast. But I think the image here is now transitioned to human beings welcomed into someone's home, not just welcomed, but given a place at the banqueting table with abundance. The image being that God has invited us into union with him, to be a guest, not just an acquaintance, not just a sheep, but to be his person, his guest at his table, that we may dwell in his household. And it asks, is a chance as we conclude to ask, what is the hope of the shepherd? The work the shepherd has done with his flock, what is the shepherd's hope? What is the vision? And the overall vision is not just that the sheep will find good grass and water. It's not just that the sheep will avoid wandering or danger, but the full vision of this psalm and the vision of our faith and the vision for our life in God is that we would be in relationship, we would dwell with our shepherd God. Here is a journey home, a home in which we know the mercy and the steadfast love of our God, a pilgrimage invited to find our dwelling place with God, to be embraced by him. Surely the goodness and love of God will follow us all the days of our life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the promise and the hope of our shepherd, that Christ came not simply that we would find rest now, that we would find provision now, but that we would know him, sitting at his table, dwelling in his household. For the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And because of this, I know the truth that neither death nor life will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ. Amen. This is our hope now and forever. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the truth that's in it. We pray that we would hear it and that it would speak peace and comfort to us in the midst of our shadows. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.